Right. A lot of at least a portion of the data I'm going to present in this presentation was also presented at the consultants conference by Jeff Gore. So some of this data may look very similar. At least the test will. Really, the one of the scenarios we've been facing, particularly in the Mid South, but also along the Texas Gulf Coast, and of course Jeremy Green and over in the Carolinas as well. We see bollworms coming through on our dual gene cotton. And of course, this has raised a lot of red flags with us. The resistance monitoring data really doesn't support any premise that we're dealing with any kind of resistant events or anything along those lines. For the last few years, we've been running as a Mid-South group an experiment where we look at a number of technologies, and it's similar to what Dan had just presented for Bolgard 3, where we have either sprayed and non-sprayed treatments. And in our particular tests, we're looking at comparing a non-BT, your wide-strike technology, Bolgard 2, TwinLink, and then just last year we started including the wide-strike 3. Of course, that's the one with it's a phytogen version of the VIP-3A, similar to what Dan presented with the Bolgard 3. I'm going to go right into the data, and on the this is seasonal mean injury, and if you look at the axis where we have the percentage data on your left. Now, I wouldn't pay a lot of attention to that because sometimes there's a lot of zeros get averaged into that as well because it's season long. But the trends should give an indication at least of where we benefit as far as injury of sprayed and non-sprayed. And this is Gus Lorenz's location in Arkansas, and he had what would be characterized as high pressure in his test. And you could definitely see, particularly with the non-BT, the difference in non-sprayed and sprayed treatments. And for our applications, we all use 20 ounces of Prevathon. And I will say that with that particular application, we generally saw about 3 weeks of efficacy out of it. But as far as the treatments among the different BT events, and the only one that separated out in Gus's test was for TwinLink in this case. None of the others were statistically different. When you look at the yields in the Arkansas side as well, we did not see any statistical benefit from adding or overspraying the BT technologies in this case, whereas we definitely saw an increase in yield where we sprayed the non-BT. This is a visual representation of Gus's location. You can definitely pick out the plots that were sprayed and those that weren't. Now, at our site in Louisiana, we did not have as much pressure as Gus did, but we did see some differences in injury. Our scale was a little bit different. We recorded our data a little bit different. So, but the as non-spray definitely had a lot more injury in the non-BT. We saw benefit from spraying the wide strike as far as injury goes, but we did not see a statistical benefit from treating the other BT technologies in this case. Looking at the yields from Louisiana, it followed similarly to what we saw in injury, where we did see an increase in benefit of spraying wide strike in a non-BT, but no statistical benefit from the other technologies. And I would say this is a representation of my site, but this is actually a different test. But it just looks so good, I had to put it in there. Okay, this is the site from Jeff Gore in Mississippi. He actually recorded the data the same way we did in Louisiana. And again, he saw a benefit in every case as far as sprayed versus non-sprayed, except for Bolgard 2. And wide strike 3. And he also saw the most separation as far as seeing a yield response sprayed versus non-sprayed. He saw it with the TwinLink. He saw it with the Bolgard 2 and the wide strike 3 in this case. And you can definitely see a representation of where the sprayed side of Jeff's plots versus the non-sprayed. A lot of difference in the amount of white cotton in that. This is Scott Stewart's site in Tennessee, and his was be characterized as a low pressure site and this year, but he did see a benefit from spraying, of course, the non-BT and the wide strike as well. No statistical benefit from spraying the other technologies. And he saw no differences in yield across any of his. If you look across at the percent increase in yield across all these locations, with the non-BT, you could see upwards of almost a 70% increase in yield from treating. With the Prevathon, about a 20% with wide strike, and the others were essentially negligible as far as a percent increase in yield across all locations. The numbers above, that represents the number of trials that we actually saw more than a 5% increase in yield in. Now, the other thing I wanted to point out, and I'm not here to pick on Wide Strike 3 by any stretch of the imagination, but it's just one of these dual gene failures or pyramided gene failures that we have experienced. And this is a new technology, and we really didn't expect to see it, but I guess what we're going to point out is that there's nothing out there that's not bulletproof. And we can see larvae come through all these technologies. This was a field of Wide Strike 3. It was actually on the experiment station, and we started picking up damaged squares and bowls in this test, upwards of 10% injury on August the 8th, if you add the squares and bowls together. And this was alarming to us. We were able to make a collection out of this particular field and bring it into the lab. And what we did, we established a colony, and with the F1 generation, what we wanted to do is let's see how it performs on the leaf tissue. So we put it on the leaf tissue. Fortunately, we had Wide Strike 3 growing in the greenhouse, so we were able to to go right into a leaf bioassay with the F1 generation. Now, this is actually the data on a non-BT, just as a comparison. The red line is the population we collected out of the Wide Strike 3. The blue line is a population we acquired from USDARS in Stoneville. And you can see no appreciable difference in mortality on the non-BT. But when we go to the Wide Strike 3, there's definitely a difference in this population. The USDA, by 8 days, we were seeing 100% mortality, and in the field collected population, around 40%. Now, the interesting thing is, and this is just when we all discussed this problem with Zaya and how transient resistant or these susceptibility events are, well, we wanted to make sure that what we were looking at was actually on toxins. So with the cooperation of Dow, we sent off the leaf tissue out of the greenhouse for quantification of the proteins in that leaf tissue. And we compared it with 499, which is just regular Wide Strike, to the Wide Strike 3, with Cry1F, the Cry1SA, and the VIP3A. And the data all came back that these leaves that we were using in our bioassays came off the exact same plants were definitely expressing the proteins. Now, there's a fitness cost, and we did take larval weights off these these individuals, and we could definitely see where the larvae that fed on the Wide Strike 3 were quite a bit lighter and stunted in growth. And then the final note is, how long does this last? And we re-ran the bioassay at the F4 generation, and by that time, we're no longer picking it up. And this is the same thing we see every year. When we run into one of these events, field collected, it's just a matter of time, and it, for whatever reason, we no longer see the expression of the increased tolerance, resistance, whatever you want to call it. So do we have VT resistance in HSA? I don't know. I can't put a finger on that. We definitely have variability and susceptibility. Of course, if it is resistant, it's got to be something that's got to be heritable. And if the genes can't persist in a lab colony, you know, that's not extremely heritable. We know for sure that our field data does demonstrate that all our current VT technologies can experience unacceptable injury and can, under the right circumstances, benefit from insecticide oversprays. And whether that's due to varietal expression, you know, plant maturity and stress or environmental conditions, of course, coupled with high pressure, there's a lot of factors that could play into that. But again, it's just we have to be cognizant that none of these technologies are bulletproof. They're all still going to have to be scouted and watched closely. If I was going to put a chart up of general BT technology comparison, this is kind of, I think my colleagues would, for the most part, agree with me. But looking at boll worms, this is the way I would categorize them, with the lower the number being, the more efficacious the technology. But I would add a caveat: we really don't have a lot of data on these two, TwinLink and WideStrike 3. So, you know, those values, in my opinion, could shift. And with that, I appreciate your attention, and I don't know if we have time for questions or not, but. All right, thank you.
Thanks, Nick. All right, thanks a lot.